what does that say about us? And what does this say about us? We've sort of accept, don't we, that the best way to find out a new way of doing things, say the best way to find out how to, for example, efficiently allocate hospital resources is have a big task force and a study and maybe some economists, some scientists, and come up with the best model. Select some great people and they will come up with the best model. Well, Dr. Garth Prathan is the CEO of Lateral Economics and chairman of an organization called Kaggle. And they have started to do things a little bit differently. That is, to throw open competitions to say, well, we want to find out how the best way of doing this particular thing, the best way of, say, efficiently allocating resources in a hospital, the best way of making traffic in a city flow better. We're going to have a competition. Anyone can send in an entry, and the best entry will win, you know, X dollars. So suddenly it becomes a very open and democratic process rather than a you are the people and you have to come up to the solution. And Dr. Garth Prathan joins us on the line. Hello, Garth.
Now, James, I've got some bad news for you. I'm not Garth Prathan. It's Nicholas Gruen here.
Yes, well, I thought I was going to be talking to you, Nick, and then for some reason up on my screen came...
You've been fed something by one of those task forces you were talking about.
Yes, well, that's
very... Can't trust them.
That's very odd, isn't it? Anyway, I'm sorry about that. How are you?
That's all right. I'm very well. I'm very well, and Kaggle is doing some extraordinary things. But, yes, that's exactly what we do. We throw... this is in a very specific context, which is to give you an example of probably the most exciting thing we've been doing lately. We're hosting or we're providing services for the Health Provider Network $3 million challenge. And the way that works is that this is an organization in America. It's not an insurance company. It's a health provider. And they've provided access to something like 200,000 patient records. They're anonymized, so people can't tell who they're looking at. And their challenge is to the data scientists of the world to come up with a model that will take this data and use it to predict who is most likely to go to hospital in the next 6 months. And why would they want to know that? Because then they can send people, they can ring them up, they can send them around to their place, they can do all sorts of things to
that
make
prevention,
sure they're taking their medicine.
Prevention is better than cure.
Preventative care, exactly.
And it's cheaper.
From their point of view, it lowers costs. And, of course, from the patient's point of view, it extends their lives and stops them the trauma of going to hospital and having the risk of dying in hospital and all that sort of stuff.
So if you have access to a big amount of data, as you said, 200,000 patient records, then once you look at the people who have been to hospital and come back again and again and again, who are on average coming back every few months, you can then work out certain factors that many of them have in common, certain patterns, and you can say, right, everyone who comes in, who you identify this, that, the other, it might be, you know, over 50, it might be a history of this, it might be something else, all those people, make sure you get a follow-up visit to, because it will be good for them. It'll be good for them and it'll save you millions of dollars. Is that the sort of thing?
Exactly. And in health, one of the things people are realizing is that the most expensive patients, the patients in the worst health, I think it's something like the bottom one, the most expensive 1% drive, I don't know, 20, 30% of the cost. So there are huge cost savings to be done here. And it's what is it by doing? It's by doing what we've always wanted to do, which is to look after the people in the worst situation. Now, the beauty of Kaggle, the beauty of the competition, is that if you took this down to your local expert, a whole firm of actuaries and statisticians, they would charge you a lot of money. And they would give you a model, and it would be a better model than you or I could build in an afternoon. But
well, better than me. I don't know about
better
you.
Better than me, too. But it wouldn't be better than somebody somewhere in the world. And the amazing thing is, we don't know where they are. We don't know who the right person for this problem is. Because one of the things that Kaggle's found out is, firstly, that If you look at people's CVs, you can't tell who's going to win one of these competitions. Often students beat their professors and all that sort of stuff. And the other thing that has amazed us is that you can't... if one person wins one of these competitions, it's not at all... It's actually quite unlikely that they'll win another competition. So it's incredibly hard to find these people. The reason
the other thing, though, if I could just interrupt for a tick, is that usually our way of trying to find a solution to issues like this is to allocate, is to think very carefully and think, who should we get to try and solve this problem? Righto, you three tend to four. Okay, you're going to solve the problem.
That's
good,
it.
And we'll get your answer. But this way, I mean, we haven't really talked about how you decide which of all the entries you get is the best answer. But you get 20, 30, 50, 100 answers, and you can pick...
Right.
You can say this one's better in this way, but that one's better in that way, and we'll combine them.
Well, that's right, actually. With data, I mean, it's quite... I don't think I have to get too complicated to explain how we do it. We take the 200... Let's say there are 200,000 records. Mm. We actually might hide, not show people, say, 25,000 of those records, and then we... Or let's say we keep 100,000 to ourselves and we put 100,000 out there at random. Then... people can build a model to predict what's happening in the 100,000. So what they do is they say, well, who went to hospital and what were they doing 6 months beforehand? And let's look at, you know, patterns which show us that someone was going to end up in hospital. So they build a model to do that, and they load it up onto our system. And our system, very clever system it is too, checks that model against the data that the people who have built the model can't see. So there's no way of cheating, and it will then say, it will then work out, it will then rank every model, and the best model will win. Now, what we can also do is we can look at the reasons why different models are winning, and usually we find that the average of some of the top models performs better than the top model itself. So you get all sorts of
interesting. So how do you encourage people to enter? I suppose one way would be to have a very, 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 very big prize.
$3 million is one way to do it.
Oh, what? And the other way would...
We're paying $3 million. I mean, we're not. The health provider network is providing $3 million, but the largest prize we ever provided before that was $10,000. And a lot of the time people enter this because they're interested, because people who are doing... the people who are, say, university students or even university professors, they actually find it quite hard to get good real-world data and very interesting to work with it. So in Stanford University now, we have a part of our website called Kaggle in Class, and on Kaggle in Class, a university professor at Stanford has hoisted up some data on, in fact, it's the price that you get for bottles of wine depending on the year that they were grown and stuff like that. The top three the students who came top in that class, in that competition, they weren't given any money for winning. They were given 100% in their final exam. So in Stanford they got buy-in from the students like you would never believe. The top students did all sorts of incredible mental gymnastics and spent 100 hours on this problem, much more than they would, you know, on writing an honors thesis.
Okay, how do you decide the winner? Who decides and how?
The winner is, as I described to you, there is test data and there is
data. A data analysis, a comparative data analysis.
Well, basically they load the model into the system and the system looks at, and they've had a look at half the data, and the system looks at the other half of the data and it says, does this model predict wine prices, and if so, how well? And somebody ends up at the top of the list. So it's completely objective.
Very interesting. How far could this go? Because every day in Australia, aren't there? There's a problem, and one organisation or person is selected to be the one that solves.
That's right.
The problem.
That's
so
right.
How
and
widely?
And that's now completely obsolete. And well, I mean, look, it's applicable everywhere. So a bank will pay a statistical consultancy $250,000 to build itself a good to build it a good credit scoring model, which is a model which predicts who is going to default on a loan. Well, we could do that for, you know, $20,000-$30,000 and it would be better.
One thing, though, you would have to get over is the, and I appreciate what you said about you made all the data anonymous, but some institutions, even perhaps banks, even if the data was anonymous, would be more reluctant to let it out amongst a wider pool, wouldn't they, than amongst just this organisation, all of whom they can sign up to confidentiality agreements.
Yeah, that's correct. But there are lots of tricks we can pull. I mean, we can put a competition up there, and it can actually be about banking models, you know, bank scoring model, and we can tell people it's about predicting wine prices.
Right.
So we can scrub the data in various ways. And there are lots of ways in which we can dither the data, which means kind of mess around with it in various ways. There are lots of ways of dealing with those kinds of issues. But it is true that there are some limits to releasing data, you know, anonymization and all of those sorts of things. I remember the guy who founded this saying to me when I first met him with a light in his eye, there are all sorts of geeks sitting in companies without the whatever they are, social skills or chutzpah to put themselves forward, and they're doing a lot worse than lots of, you know, blowhard self-promoters in there who've got the personal smarts, but actually aren't much good, and that's what this can change.
Nick, thank you very much. That's very interesting.
Thanks, James.